Good evening, everyone. Good to see you tonight. And I think maybe it was my wife and I were the only ones who had experience doing a fair. We had actually done a street fair back in our old church for a few years. We actually had done balloons before. I had to remember how to do it, though. And let me tell you, organizing something like that is not easy. So I am just going to say also, thank you so much, Pastor Seth. You did great work, and God blessed it. It was such a testimony to our community. We did have a little girl. We worked Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the first 2 hours. We had a little girl that came back every night. I assume she was there Friday and Saturday, too. But just wonderful to serve alongside of all of you, and just praise the Lord for that opportunity. And looking forward already to doing it again next year, health permitting. So praise the Lord. Well, I'll have you open to Isaiah chapter 40 tonight. Years ago, I had to look up the records. 18 years ago, when I was pastoring, I did a series in our church on people's favorite Bible verses. I had them submit their Bible verses, and one of them was Isaiah 40, verse 31. It has since become one of my favorite Bible verses as well. And we're going to study the paragraph that surrounds that, but this is something that I hope will be an encouragement to you tonight as you mount up with wings as eagles. Just a little background to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah was written, Isaiah ministered at a time of great crisis. It was during Isaiah's ministry that the northern kingdom of Israel was taken into captivity. This is written to the southern kingdom, Judah. And they're thinking that God somehow has abandoned them, that God doesn't realize what's going on with them. He wrote to save Judah, the southern kingdom, from its idolatry and its moral degeneracy, and to tell them that salvation is by grace alone. He's writing to encourage them, but the whole first part of the book, the first 39 chapters, deal with warnings. Warnings to Israel, warnings to the nations. If they reject God, what would happen to them? And so chapter 40 starts a brand new section. Chapter 40 is about hope. Chapter 40 is about comfort. In fact, if you look at verse 1, it says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. This is a message of comfort. He deals with the purpose of peace. He then deals with the Prince of Peace, and dealing with salvation, soteriology, and then the program of peace when Jesus will come again in those end times. But I want to study tonight chapter 40, verses 28 to 31. And so I want to read starting in verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You know, this book ends up being a book of comfort, a book of encouragement. Three times, though, in this section of the book, the last chapters, Isaiah says there is no peace for the wicked. Three different times he says that. Chapter 48, verse 22, chapter 57, verse 21, and chapter 66, verse 24. There is no peace for the wicked. How are we to have peace while going through trials? How are we to have peace and have spiritual strength while going through troubles? Well, the secret is not a secret at all. It's to trust the Lord. It's to rely upon the Lord. It's to walk with the Lord. And the Lord does all the lifting. The Lord does all of the work to give us that peace. Let's bow our heads and let's pray, and then we'll study together. Lord, as we open up the Word of God, I pray that, Lord, you would help me to convey it accurately, to teach it in a correct way, to share the blessings that are in these verses. And Lord, I pray that if there are any among us who do not know Jesus as Savior, I pray they would come to that place where they trust you, Jesus, and you alone for their salvation. I pray you bless the preaching of your word tonight. Give us comfort where we need it. Give us strength, because we all need that. And we'll praise you and thank you, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever gone to a mountain, right? We can look out almost from our house and look over at Mount Penn on the other side of Reading. And on top of Mount Penn, there's a tower. You can't go in that tower anymore. They have it closed off. It's not safe. There's also a structure there they call the pagoda. It looks like a Chinese structure of some kind, or a Japanese structure. But way back when I was a child, you could go up in that tower. I was terrified, by the way. I didn't like heights. I remember my dad taking me up in that fire tower, and I was pressed against the wall. There's a big cement fence there, but I was back here. I was not going to get near that fence, but boy, what you could see. You could look out and see, to a little boy, see everything there was to see. I could see where all the other hills were. I could see where the traffic was. I could see where all the buildings were. I could see the whole picture. And that's what God can do. God sees the end from the beginning. And God's program is not about just the now. It's about the all. You know, as God works, he works through the days and the weeks and the months and the years and the centuries and the millennium to bring out his purposes. Here is Judah, and they're going through a terrible trial. They are going through trouble like we have never gone through. They're in danger of losing their entire country. They're in danger of losing their way of life. And they're thinking God doesn't care. They're thinking God doesn't even see it. Verse 27 makes that clear. As Isaiah says, why do you say this, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord. No, it wasn't. God saw what was happening, but his purposes are played out over a long period of time. You know, we are four-dimensional people. Did you realize that? We live in three dimensions, height, width, and length, but we live in a fourth dimension called time. Time doesn't change. It just is relentless, isn't it? We can decide where we're going to be in our bodies. I'm going to move over here now. And now I'm here, but I can't change time. You know, we talk about meeting somebody. Oh, I'll meet you at the Denver Fair. Is that it? Well, when? Or I say, I'll meet you at 4 o'clock. Well, where? See, we live in four dimensions. And the interesting thing about God is he's apart from his creation. Now, he fills his creation. He's everywhere present, but he is apart from it as well. And as he looks at time, he sees the end from the beginning perfectly. He knows the future perfectly. He knows the past perfectly. He sees it if it were a line, and that's the only way we can think about it. He sees the whole thing. Here's God working out his purposes. And here we are saying, what are you doing, God? Why am I going through this problem? What is happening right now? Don't you know? Don't you hear? Well, yes, he does. Let's notice tonight, first of all, in verses 28 and 29, the ability of God to give spiritual strength. You know, it's during those times when we're having trouble, during those times of trial, that we need spiritual strength. I started using this passage when I would do hospital visits. You know, most of the time I was using things from Psalms and reading out of Psalms and encouragement. And I realized how encouraging this passage is to people lying in a bed. And they have no physical strength. But this is not talking about physical strength, is it? It's talking about spiritual strength. And here is the God with all of the ability to give us spiritual strength. Notice in verse 28, there are three references to God, three different references to God. Of course, verse 28 says, hast thou not known? It's almost Isaiah saying, you know you should know. Why don't you know? Haven't you known? What's wrong with you, Israel? What is wrong with you, Judah? Don't you know? And sometimes, you know, remember that commercial where, I mean, this is years ago, I'm dating myself, but the person went, clunk, oh, I could have had a V8. It's like, it's kind of like that. Don't you know? Don't you get it? Who is he? He is the everlasting God. That word for God is Elohim. It points to God being the Trinity. The last part of that Hebrew word, the I am, is a plural. Elohim. Don't you realize God is that three persons in one God? Don't you realize it? And then he says the Lord. The Lord is the word Jehovah, the self-existent God, the eternal God. Don't you realize who God is? And then he says the Creator. The Creator showing his power. Not only can God do it, he has the power to do it. He has the power to give us that spiritual strength that we need no matter what is happening. He is the Creator of the ends of the earth. It literally is the end of the land. In other words, he can see as far as his creation is. We have a 5-year-old grandson. One thing about 5-year-olds, and when he was 4, he's living in the moment. If you ask him, what did you do today? He'll just look at you and go, I don't know. Well, what did you have to eat at school today? I don't know. He doesn't care about that. He cares about, come on, Papa, let's play. He's living in the moment. He's living in the right now. If you talk about tomorrow, he doesn't care about that. He's living in the right now. You know, that's the way we are often. We're wrapped up in our own problems, in the right now, in the what we're going through. And, well, why isn't God working this out? Why isn't he doing it when I want it done? When do you want it done, by the way? Now. I want my problems to go away now. I don't want to wait till next week. I don't want to wait till next month. I want it done now. That is not necessarily what God's plan is, you see. God is going to do it in his timing. And it says, he fainteth not, neither is weary. These words come up again in verse 31. But now expressed of God, God moves toward his goal without wearying. God is going to get it done on his timetable. He's not going to cease. And though Judah might be troubled at the time Isaiah wrote, they should embrace the message of hope. And the reminder in the rest of the book that points to the coming of the Messiah, to God's plan unfolding in future ages, we should be comforted by that. No, I really do enjoy the comfort thinking about eternity. The closer I get to it, the more that comforts me. The fact is, God is working all of these things out. And the same God who had the power to create can exercise that power to suit his purposes in the present and in the future, though we might not understand what he's doing. There is no searching of his understanding, says verse 28. I may not understand it, but I don't have to. I'm not God after all. I don't need to understand exactly what he's doing. And the fact is, he does give that power. Look at verse 29. He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. And again, he does it in his timing. He has the ability to give us spiritual strength when we need it. But also then, let's look at verses 30 and 31. And this is where we want to really concentrate on the opportunity for humans to gain spiritual strength. We have the opportunity, God has the ability, and now we have the opportunity to gain that strength. You know, so often, I've heard the terms as Christians observe some people going through trouble and they say, I don't know how somebody gets through that without the Lord. You ever say that? I don't know how they do it. My answer has always been the same. They don't do it very well. Why? Because when you have the Lord, God will give you the strength that you need. And again, not talking about physical strength, and it makes it very clear that this is not physical strength in verse 30. This verse describes a group that would seem to have the greatest ability to have strength, the youths. So all of our young people, and I do, I praise the Lord, Pastor Seth, for our young people, our youth, our teens. Fantastic. You ever get tired? Well, no, you're young. Why would you get tired? I don't understand it. You know, you can go forever. No, you can't. You know, if we run you hard enough, you're going to get tired. Some of you know I do work with a high school basketball team. And they do a drill. I feel sorry for them. I really do. They do a drill that is just sprints and getting down on their hands and knees and crawling and then getting back up and sprinting. And if they're not in absolutely tip-top shape, some of them look like they're going to die. In fact, I told the coach, if you ever made me do that, I would die. That'd be the end of me. You know, that would be it. But some of them, when they get to the end, and you know, I've gone over to some of the young men who are just new, they're just learning, and they're not there yet, and go over and put my arm around them and say, you just keep working at it, you'll get it. You won't believe what kind of shape you'll be in by the end of the season once you're done doing this. But they get tired. They get tired. You know, even the strongest among us, if we were depending only on physical strength, we will fall. We will not be able to do it. In fact, it says when they faint, that literally in the Hebrew, it says they will stumble, stumbling. That's a lot of stumbling, don't you think? They will stumble, stumbling. In other words, they're going to just get wiped out. It's not going to work. They will fall when the load is too heavy. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. But, verse 31, but. And that connects to the word even in verse 30. What a wonderful word in Scripture. Isn't the word but a wonderful word? It is that word that changes the darkness to light. It changes the fallenness to lifted upness. If you want to accept that as a word. Even though the young men fall when faced with obstacles that are greater than they can naturally handle, there is a group that does not have to fall. It is this group in verse 31 that can continue on with new and greater vigor than they ever had before. Who is this group? They that wait upon the Lord. That word wait, such an interesting word. It comes from a base word that means to bind together by twisting. And if you would picture maybe some sticks that are tender, maybe they're green, and you get a bundle of sticks and you twist them together so that they're all intertwined with each other, that's this word. They that are twisted together with the Lord. In other words, we're totally relying upon the Lord. We're bound together with the Lord. Why? Because we're trusting Him. And the word then becomes the idea of expecting or waiting patiently for. Why? Because we're twisted together with the Lord. Had a couple of guys in the church that I pastored who jumped out of airplanes in the military. The one fellow, he's older than me. In fact, I think the other fellow was older than me. And they always tried to get me to jump out of an airplane. No way. That's not happening. Oh, come on, Pastor. We do it. You'll be safe on the ground. Say, I'll go with you, but I'll watch you. They said, no. You don't understand. We'll tether you to an experienced person, and they will do everything. You'll jump with them. They'll pull the ripcord. You'll be completely safe. Now, that's great if you trust that person, isn't it? Who is this person? Well, a complete stranger. Well, I'm not doing that. That's kind of this word, it being bound together with the Lord. Now, I don't need to worry about being bound together with the Lord. The Lord's going to take care of things, isn't He? You see, mere natural and physical powers will not work in the hour when we are called upon to face great emergencies or great difficulties, even spiritual emergencies. Our own power will not do it. But those who have learned to refer everything to God and trust God and to wait quietly upon Him will be given the needed spiritual strength to rise above that moment, to not tire, to not faint, to go on and on and on, no matter how long it takes. Verse 31 says they will renew their strength. That word means to spring up or to sprout or to go forward. That's the idea of growth. It really is true that when you're going through trials, it's a tremendous opportunity to grow, isn't it? God brings situations into your life where you can practically apply the scripture that you have learned. You can learn what it says, but then when you go through something and have to apply it, it just makes it come alive, doesn't it? Perhaps you were reading the Bible sometime and you were going through something, and maybe it's something that you have read 100 times and you read it again and you get something out of it you never saw before. That ever happened to somebody? Any of you? Happens to me all the time. They will renew their strength, and what a beautiful picture. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Have you ever seen an eagle fly? Or maybe a big bird, a hawk. Oh, they have very powerful wings, don't they? But how do they fly? You don't see them up there flying like this. They're soaring on the currents. It is the currents that are lifting them up. Now, they have to make some little adjustments, don't they? Sure. I've got to decide to go this way and that way, and that's kind of us. We have to do some things. You know, you're looking for work. What do you have to do? You have to put applications in. You have to do some footwork. You do have to do some things. But God does the lifting. Here are these currents lifting up this great bird with such little effort. One of my secret things is I always wanted to be able to fly without wings. Wouldn't that be great someday? You know, when the rapture comes, it says, there we go. When I watch those birds, and it's so effortless. They're just riding those currents. You ever see a glider? Wow. You know, if my friend said, well, we'll take you up in a glider instead of doing skydiving, I think I'd say, I'll watch you on the ground too. It's amazing. This is what God does for us. He gives us a spiritual strength that we would not have any other way. We can't generate it ourselves. He lifts us up. He carries us up. Those waiting on the Lord are prepared to be carried aloft by the Spirit of God in His time and in His way. And Israel was impatient. They insisted on prompt action from God. And what did that do? That just served to weary them. It wore them down. But we will also become drained if we're not quietly trusting the Lord, bound together with the Lord. It saps our strength. It saps our spiritual strength. But we don't have to. We trust the Lord. He lifts us up, and there we go. We're good. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The same words, weary and faint, that were used of God are used now of us if we're trusting the Lord. Why will we not weary? Why will we not faint? Because God doesn't weary or faint. God is the one doing the heavy lifting. We just need to trust Him. I have preached through this passage, as I said, I think it was 18 years ago the first time. I hadn't preached through it since then until this year. Actually ended up using this passage in about 3 other churches that I preached in this year, all the way back to February. And every time until this time, I looked at this verse, this last verse, and there's something interesting in this verse that I couldn't figure out, but I think I might have a little bit of a hint of it. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And the thing that always was interesting to me is, why did they put run before walk? If you think of a child, they learn to walk before they run, right? Why is run before walk? And so for 18 years, I've asked the Lord, can you give me some insight? If you look in commentaries or writings of other people, they never address that. They never say, well, here's why run is before walk. But all of a sudden, in fact, maybe it was because I was working at the fair with those balloons. I don't know. But all of a sudden, God gave me a little bit of an insight. And I'm not saying this is the reason run is before walk, but this is good application, what I'm going to share with you right now. I started to understand run and walk are spiritually run and spiritually walk. Again, we're not talking physically by now. Well, when we get down to this verse, we're talking spiritually. I can spiritually run or spiritually walk. What happens when you have trials? It's the opportunity to grow. And when you're growing and growing quickly, that would be like running spiritually, right? I'm growing. Wow. And instead of tiring you, it's exhilarating. When God is growing you, oh, what joy that is. And sometimes we're just growing a little bit at a time. Well, we're growing, but it's not like those leaps and bounds. I remember when I first got saved and just grew so quickly. You know, I'd be driving down the road looking at the other cars going, I wonder if they know. I wonder if they know the gospel. They probably think they're a good person, but I got news for them. And I would be looking at everybody. And I was sharing the good news with people. And you grow quickly when you do that because you get asked questions that you have no answer for and you got to go find out. I said, I'll go ask my pastor. And you grow. And we're growing and growing and growing. But then there are other times where that kind of slows down. It's kind of like you're walking spiritually. Why is run before walk? Because they're going through a trial and they had the opportunity to grow quickly if they would do it. If they would trust the Lord. But either way, whether you are running or walking spiritually, you never have to stop growing. You don't get weary in growing. And so I don't know if that's really the reason why run is before walk, but at least it's good application, I think, of this passage. The fact is, we never get tired of growing, and you ought to keep growing. You grow your whole life. Now, I pastored for 38 years, 34 of them, as the senior pastor of a church that the Lord allowed me to plant, and I'm still growing. I'm still learning. Praise the Lord. I love coming to church. I love coming to church every week and hearing the Word of God. And Pastor Keith challenges me every week. Does he you? Sure does me. And I love that. Why? Because we can grow. You never need to get tired of growing, and especially when you're going through trials and the Lord's lifting you up. What an opportunity for growth. Some of you know I've the last two summers, after retiring as a pastor, I've worked for the Reading Phillies minor league baseball team as part of their game day staff. And one of the jobs I do there is I train other people. I don't know how many I've trained, but a lot, to do certain jobs. And so, yeah, what, a pastor, a teacher, training people, imagine, right? And so one of these young ladies that I trained and still works with me, she doesn't learn in the traditional way. There are a lot of people like that. She gets very nervous about learning a new thing. She gets very on edge. And she got a job at another place while continuing to work for the Reading Phillies. And she got this other job, and it happened to be a very similar job as somebody else who works with us. And she said this to me when she was starting. She was starting to learn. And starting to learn this other job, she said, I would picture this other person standing alongside of me. And when I pictured them standing alongside of me, this other person who is a manager in the same type of job, when I pictured them, it gave me comfort and I could go on. And I thought, you know, here's the Lord standing right beside me and I don't have to picture that. I know it. And he's not only standing right beside me, he's lifting me up, giving me spiritual strength. I don't have to imagine it. It's happening. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for what God does for us in lifting us up when we're going through troubles. We can mount up with wings as eagles because we're trusting the Lord. Listen, if you don't have that type of trust, in the Lord, you're going through trials alone. You're going through trials and probably struggling a great deal because you're not bound with the Lord. And so that's your first step. You need to be bound with the Lord. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, obviously that's your first step. Trusting Him as Savior, but then making sure that you are walking with Him, bound with Him, twisted up with Him. And then you can rely upon Him no matter what's happening. No matter how long it takes. No matter what you're going through. He will lift you up. He will be there to help you and give you that spiritual strength that you need. Notice I didn't say He'd stop your problem. That's not for sure. But He will lift you up in it. And it is an opportunity for you to run, to grow the way that God wants you to. Praise the Lord for what He does for us. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful that You, Lord, will lift us up and we can mount up with wings as eagles when we are going through troubles and trials. We praise You tonight for all that You do for us. When we're not sure if You're working, we know from the Word of God that You are. When we don't understand Your timetable, we know that Your understanding is unsearchable. But we can trust You. And so we praise You tonight and thank You. We pray, Lord, for this week that we would live and walk with You and that we would trust You every day. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.